22, page 52 of your notes. Mercy on the fallen. Pick up with a theme that was in the previous session. How we deal with believers who have fallen or messed up in a significant way. We're not talking about everyday incidental sinning, obviously. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Okay, that would be a particular category. On the one hand, show mercy. God shows mercy towards us. We're to show mercy to one another. Present imperative. It's an order. Eliao. To show mercy on some who are doubting. Present active participle, diakrino. Diakrino can be used in a positive way and in a negative way. It can mean to discern. Well, that's good. But here, it can be used judging a dispute, doubt. Have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others. Save others. Present imperative. Zozo. Others. Snatching them out of the fire. You can imagine what people do with this one. Present participle, harpazo, means to seize or snatch for a vigorous action here, not just pick something up. This is because here it's snatch out of the fire, P-U-R. And on some, have mercy with fear. And on some, have mercy, Eliao, present imperative, keep on having mercy, with fear, phobos. This is sanctified fear, not sinful. Hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Hating, present participle, meseo, hating the garment. This is a definite article, the particular Greek word ketone. Ketone. My clothes salesman told me, he says, there's even a line of men's clothes that are more expensive. The most expensive one, he said, the name of it's ketone. Sorry. Even more expensive than Brioni? Yeah. Ketone. Hating even the garment. The word translated garment here is a tunic that was worn next to the skin rather than an overcoat or some outer garment. Based on the Bible, the time in which it was written, they wore these tunics. Hating even the garment, I give you meseo, to hate, even the garment, polluted is the translation in the New American. Spilao means to put a stain on something. And it is a synonym for to defile something. Even the garment, stained or polluted by the flesh, preposition apo with the word sarx, flesh. Here, the word flesh is one of the synonyms within the doctrine of the old sin nature. It's called the flesh. And obviously the word is used in the usual sense of what covers our bones. So point one, abruptly, without any transition, Jude appends his brief but splendid summation of the Christian way of life, first session, with counsel on how his readers should function towards fellow believers of the royal family who have fallen in greater or lesser degrees under the manipulations of the intruders, probably. That would be a contributory factor, though you can fall and get caught up in things without that, but that's the whole background, that these libertines were coming in there and encouraging them to engage in sexual immorality, various things of this nature. They were completely corrupt individuals, packaging it all in a philosophy like Gnosticism or something, and that had infiltrated their ranks when their guard would normally be down. It's a party. It's a love feast. We're all going to get together and eat and have fellowship, like we do a couple times a year here when we have our picnics. Well, these people came on. We wouldn't entertain any strangers. No. Go on down the road, unless you're interested in Bible doctrine. Difficult in itself, these two verses are even more difficult by the uncertainty of the Greek text, which has come down to us in a confused state. From the massive variance, however, two rival texts by and large emerge. The shorter one, this is technical stuff, Codex Vaticanus, distinguishes two groups of failing believers. Over against it stands the longer text of Codex Sinaiticus A and others. It distinguishes three groups, and it's most likely form as follows: and convince some who doubt, save some by snatching them out of the fire. On some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. A translation. The sense it yields is excellent, the longer one. Editors are divided in their evaluation of the text. The consideration inclining one in favor of the shorter version, its stylistic roughness and sheer difficulty as compared with the smoothness and correctness of the larger one, and the fact that the latter and its variants can be intelligibly explained as attempts to make sense of the abrupt shorter text, and Jude's prediction for arranging his material in groups of three, verses 2, 4, 8, in the examples of verses 5 through 7 and 11. The various forms of the text are aberrations which arose partly from scribal inattentiveness, partly from indecision concerning the sense of diacrino in verse 22. In verse 9, it means to dispute with someone. However, here it means to doubt, and partly from concern to provide a main clause for three or two relative clauses. If this is accepted, the first of the two groups consists of the ones who are doubting. Okay, got through all that. The verb found in the present participle has already appeared in verse 9 with the meaning be at odds with, and translated disputed with. 12, the assumption that this must therefore be the sense here may have caused some manuscripts to insert convince or refute in place of have mercy. Hence the rendition. There are some who raise disputes. These you should refute. However, the verb quite frequently signifies be doubtful, waver, as per those verses. 15. In the active voice, the meaning is to discern or to judge. In the middle and passive voices, the meaning is to doubt or to dispute. Inevitably, some of these believers had been dangerously influenced by the pseudo-teachers, false teachers, but had not taken the big step into reversionism. They hadn't gone down yet. They had just got them off balance. They were considering this stuff. So, the strong are encouraged to have mercy on them by getting together with a believer who is wavering and articulating the spiritual issues that are at stake. The believer who is seeking to win over the believer who has been thrown off balance by false doctrine is not to engage the believer in a high-handed fashion, but to show mercy to the one who is in the quote unquote middle ground. 20. In a kind, tactful manner, set before the doubters the truth without compromise. If you have a discussion with somebody, they're having an issue with something. It is then left, that should be, to the individual's volition to walk away from the error of the heretics. I'm done with that. They threw me a curveball and I fell for it at a certain level. I'm done with it. I'm done with that. Because there are those, inevitably or possibly, that you may run into who will try to talk you out of the truth. Yeah. And, of course, if they're not on doctrine, you can't argue with them because it isn't going to go anywhere. If they ask you a question about the Bible, you can tell them, or I can get you the answer. But if you want to argue about this, I don't have time for this. We're not here in a debater's deal. This is what I believe about whatever. And I have the doctrine and I have the scripture to back it up. So, in a kind, tactful manner, set before the doubters the truth without compromise. 21. Is then left to the individual's volition to walk away from the error of the heretics. The word save others in groups introduces the second group. Save others. The verb save is also a present active imperative. 24. This type of individual requires a direct frontal assault. They are on the wrong path and need to be told as much in no uncertain terms. They need to be aggressively rescued. The present participle snatching is used as an imperative. The verb harpazo means to seize forcefully, as when wild animals or thieves carry off their prey. John 6:15. It is used in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 for the removal of the body of Christ, believers, from the earth at the rapture. So we're going to be jerked out of here. In other words, once we're resurrected, it's boom, up at the speed of whatever and meet Christ in the air. It'll be a flash for any onlookers on the ground that sees this event. How could they avoid not seeing the event? They can report that. UFOs got them now. People will resort to anything but the truth, won't they? They got the Bible in front of them, all the evidence in front of them, and you're going to go down that path? Here it is used metaphorically of the aggressive, in-your-face approach towards those who have gone over to the other side and who need a reality check. Now you got to be careful with this. That's up to you. If God was to put you in this position, it'd probably be somebody that you are familiar with, have interacted with. What are you doing? Approach. Where are you going? This is the complete opposite of what we have been taught. It's in the scripture. The teaching of the apostles, and it's all wrong. You need to run back to the truth. When a person falls into a life-threatening situation, the rescuer, the trained rescuer, or even just a bystander, takes all necessary action to save the victim. Of course, those who are trained know how to do it the best way. The words out of the fire, ek puros, continues the figure of speech. Some interpreters think that it's a reference to eternal condemnation. Well, of course they do. And that the subjects are unbelievers, in this context, the false teachers. Calvin presents this as the fire and brimstone evangelist. 35, however, there is another fire. They don't mention it. That is reserved for all believers when they stand before Christ in judgment. And that is the fire of the Bema Seat. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15. We read John 15:6, I think. Yeah, first session. But the 1 Corinthians passage. The context. For now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Well, that's two distinct categories of matter. Something that is of value, and something that can be of value, but it is, when you put the two together and you apply fire to them, you know what's going to happen to wood, hay, and straw or stubble. It's going to burn right up. But not gold, silver, and precious stones. They can withstand heat. Each man's works will become evident. Each man's work, that's each believer standing there, their corporate amount of work they've done, efforts, activities, from the time they were saved until the end of their life. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. So we're going to be in a fire event. We're going to be like the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, who were thrown in there but supernaturally protected from the heat, the fire that in that furnace that they cranked up many times over, this industrial furnace, many times more than it would normally be cranked up. And they're walking around in there and talking to a fourth figure, the Lord. And the only thing that got burned on them was the ropes they tied them up with. They burned off. And when they came out, you couldn't even smell smoke on them. It was as if they'd never went in there. God protecting in the midst of a fire. Because you cannot name anything that God can't do. You simply cannot. If it's in His will and in His plan, there's nothing too difficult for God. And that would include the rapture of millions and millions of believers wherever their bodies and their remains are. Because it's that actual body, they're going to get it back. All fixed up in every way. When they're pulled out of their graves. Or wherever their remains are. Scattered to the four winds, ashes. Some guy went up in an airplane and dumped his ashes out over his favorite fishing hole. Yeah, right. People do some of the silliest stuff. Somebody told me about one husband and wife, when she finally died, he died first, that she mixed their ashes together and threw them on their favorite pond. That really is so meaningful. This is how people think when they don't have Bible doctrine. So if a person was blown up at ground zero and vaporized into the atmosphere, I'm sure there was, well, obviously there have been people. You know, all those people in those two Japanese cities that were incinerated with the first dropping of the atomic bomb in history. And guess who did it? It wasn't the Soviets. We're going to answer for all this. God's kept a record. And because it was decades ago, doesn't matter. You did it, and you as a country never repented of this mess and turned to the Lord like the ancient Assyrians did and saved their bacon for another century plus. We're not about to do that. We just want to improve the economy or get rid of this or that that may need to get rid of, but it's no. No. Dream on. Hallucinate. It's not going to happen. Okay. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Because you're in a resurrection body, it's not going to affect your body one bit. You can't do anything to harm, injure a resurrection body. It's bulletproof in every way. A mosquito can't bite you. You can't bruise it, etc. It's a mystery in and of itself. We just have to wait to get there to see it. And then we'll get acclimated. But it is your body you had on earth. Fixed up. Everybody the same age. No elderly. No little teenagers running around. I don't care if the kid is 8 years old at the rapture. He's going to be an adult. Yet his works will be burned up. Now, how is God going to display a lifetime of works for all of these millions and millions of people? I don't know. But he's got it all figured out. He's got the logistics all figured out. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Every one of us here today will suffer some loss. We had an opportunity to apply this and we didn't. Okay, fine. What's the saving grace of this event? But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That means that the person, this isn't hell. So how could these interpreters get that this isn't hell? This over in our verse in Jude. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, that's the believer, negative, running under their STA. And they don't use the grace assets to pull their horns in and get their act together. If any man destroys the temple, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. You are a walking, living, breathing temple of God. And the Spirit of God, like in the ancient temple of old, in the most holy place dwelt the Shekinah glory. You're indwelt. You're a temple. Keep it clean. Rebound from first session. You can't wear it out. For the temple of God is holy, and that's what you are. Let no man deceive himself. Okay, that's all I wanted on that anyway. All right. And John 15:6. The judgment is toward our works. That is our phase two. All human good. Works, deeds performed out of fellowship. Even legitimate stuff. You're sitting here, you're out of fellowship. And you put an offering in the offering plate. It's the right application, but you're out of fellowship. Whatever you do is under the Lord. You can't do that. We can't do that when you and I are out of fellowship. And that's why we have a doctrine of rebound, which teaches us as normal human beings who practice hygiene. We're not talking about people that don't. We're talking about people that practice hygiene. Even we wash our hands. We regularly rinse our hands and dry them off. Use the restroom, fix a meal, do whatever. And that symbolizes because we get things on our hands, and we need to wash our hands and cleanse them. Because it's our hands come in contact with all sorts of things. That which survives represents divine good production. And will be rewarded with SG3. Believers who are caught up in false teaching will suffer great loss and shame. It's going to be worse for them. I think the people that are going to be the most embarrassed are those that were on doctrine and made application and will get SG3 for what they did and then go belly up. They're going to take it harder than just some dummy that got saved and then that's all they ever did. I know I've heard of those types. I'm a believer. I got saved. I don't have time for church. I'll be happy forever. Somebody reported, had a brother, that was his mentality. I'm going to heaven. Okay. He drank himself into an early death. He's a believer. I'm going to heaven. I'll be happy. Yeah, you will. But you got to go through the bema seat. You'll change your tune right then and there. But it's too late. That which survives represents divine good production will be rewarded with SG3. 39, believers who are caught up in false teaching will suffer great loss and shame. 40, believers who are in reversionism and carnality are in the fire, so to speak. But as long as there is life and grace are salvable. And I've exhorted and I've tried to encourage others. Look, okay, you're out of Bible class all those years. Now you're back on. You're on track. You're requalified. You're back in fellowship. You're back on doctrine. No, you can't make up for 20 years of missing information. But you can still qualify for the crown and get back on track. Put those things behind you. Don't beat yourself up. It's useless energy. Yeah, you might have Lupe say, yeah, I wish I'd have stuck with it. Well, yeah, okay, you wish. I can say that too. I wish I'd have made that application or whatever. We need to revisit these things from time to time because believers tend to, in the midst of their situations in life, lose track of this information. And especially if you have someone telling you that this is something different. If you have any question about that, I'd be glad to answer it once I get the facts. I'll be glad to answer it. I care about you. But I am not going to compromise because I care about you. I'm going to tell you the way it is. And I'm going to try to do it in a gentle and straightforward way. So aggressive measures are required for those in the fire zone. I don't recall doing that with anybody. But I might have. I mean one-on-one, not from the pulpit. I've had to do it from the pulpit to try to warn and exhort believers, don't go down that path. When there is danger of fire, we should not hesitate to snatch away violently those we are led by God to save. For it is not enough to beckon with a finger or a kindly stretch of the hand. Those who are called by God the Holy Spirit will know when to engage in tough love. As they used to call it. Maybe they still do. 43. You know, it's like getting in someone's face and telling them, you need to quit doing drugs. You need to quit being incredibly stupid and self-destructive. This has not led to a good end for anybody who has practiced it in this world. And it's not going to be any different for you. You get away from these illegal substances. So you can have your little high. And then what's after that? You just threw a brick at your health. Mental and physical. Because you had to be high. Wow. And it applies to other kinds of sinning as well, you know. Sexual immorality. Meaningless sex. What's that? What all that leads to? Disease, this potentially. Disease, unwanted pregnancy. No real fulfillment in life. Bouncing around from one person to the next. Uh-huh. So the third group here, groups of three, constitutes believers who have fallen into gross immorality and who recognize it. We'll pick that up next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.